Blog Talk Radio.
Conversations with the Queen, where we value a holistic and conscious approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing a great topic, which is the importance of healthy birth in the Black community, featuring Divine Bailey and Nicholas. And she is a great sister with a lot of information and an important, important topic. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you, to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget that if you miss the show, you can always check us out on the archives here at blogtalkradio.com/poeticenergynetworkstation. Also, don't forget to like our fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. All right, and that is a great way for you to keep in touch with our scheduling, what we're doing, anything that we have going on. Another great site for you to visit is our newest blog, which is thequeensandpost.blogspot.com. And the Queendom is a movement that is dedicated to uplifting the first teachers and the first classroom, which is the woman. So it's time to support sisters who support our community. So make sure you definitely go check that out. And that's, again, thequeensandpost.blogspot.com. And our monthly yoga pose is the Savasana. Again, that's the Savasana, also known as the corpse pose. It's a really, really great and beneficial pose. It's a restorative pose that calms the brain, helps to relieve stress, relieves mild depression, relaxes the body, reduces headaches, fatigue, and insomnia, and helps to lower our blood pressure. So remember that when we're doing our yoga, it's important to incorporate our restorative poses as well, as they bring us a lot of balance. It's not always about trying to be in the most twisted up position. Something as simple as laying there in the correct positioning and breathing and making sure that we are in that state of mind is also important and imperative to our health. So please do implement yoga into your everyday and understand the importance of restorative poses. All right? So without further ado, we are definitely going to bring the sister on. Oh, but one quick last announcement before we get into it. Anybody who's in the Boston or Brockton area, on September 29th at 4:30 p.m., we will be having a womb circle for all the sisters to come out and definitely get their healing and, you know, have a great time while doing so. And that's going to be on 702 Main Street in Brockton. That's at Natural Vibes for all of you guys who are familiar with it, and we will be putting on a great, great event. So for all my peoples out in the Boston area, definitely pay attention to that. For more information on that, visit GeminiCreations.com and go down to the event page, and you will be able to view more information, the flyer, and all that wonderful stuff. So let's get into the information. Let's bring the sister on and let's my co-host, which is Saeed. Saeed, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Peace.
Peace, brother. Thank you for joining us.
I couldn't miss this show right here.
This is an important show. So let's bring on the sister. Divine, are you on the line?
Peace. Thank you for having me, you all. How are you?
Wow, we're well. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right, sis. I mean, this month is particularly important, especially pertaining to your cause and your organization, because it is National Infant Mortality Awareness Month. I mean, so, you know, you gave me that bit of information. You're like, it's imperative that we get the information out there to the sisters, definitely on what we're doing in the community, period, as far as what we're trying to develop. And, you know, to the sisters to understand, you know, what they need to do to take care of themselves in order to, you know, have healthy children and bring up a healthy nation. So give us some more information on who you are and what you do.
Peace, indeed. My name is Divine. I'm actually a provincial doula trained under the International Center of Traditional Childbearing, a traditional healer, and a mother of two. I had my first daughter. She was a transfer from the birthing center to the hospital. I had my second daughter on assisted home birth. She was a breech baby as well. We had her at home, healthy. She came feet first. And I've been moved to work in the natural health field and natural birthing because it's a passion. I'm tired of seeing our family, our community sick, and our babies and mothers dying and being mistreated by the medical system just from lack of knowledge and also lack of cultural competency. And so being that I had a passion to just work with women and children and birthing, I also made it a mission of mine to start a nonprofit called Community Birth Companion, where our goal is to decrease infant and maternal mortality rates amongst low-income women through childbirth education, breastfeeding promotion, and community doulas. It's significant to say in the United States of America, our birthing practices aren't the best. And for for this to be a country that trumps itself on being so-called a superpower, so-called, you know, the best medical system the world can offer, our babies are dying at very high rates. You know, we rank like 40 amongst the in the world. So there's it's countries like Cuba, North Korea, that rank higher than us and better than us in childbirth outcomes. And you're like, how does this happen? And then when it comes to black babies and black mothers, our babies are four times as likely to die than our white counterparts. So something has to give. And our mission is to work on healing that and building a village to support our mothers and babies.
Definitely. Is there anything that inspired you specifically, like a situation that inspired you to really get active and involved in this cause?
Yes. I had always had an inkling towards midwifery or, you know, working with mothers just from, like, surfing the web. And it was something that just touched me. My mother had always told me that my grandmother gave birth to her first two children while she was still in Mississippi at home on the couch. My mother had a midwife for her birth of my youngest sibling. And I never heard of C-sections in our home as being something that was normal. You know, nowadays when people say they have a C-section, it's regular. It's like getting your tonsils pulled. But that wasn't the type of atmosphere I grew up in. So as I got older and I was hearing so many of my sisters talk about this and this happened to them when they went to the doctor, when they had their baby, and you start doing research and you're learning that the slippery slope of interventions that happen within the hospital and how they kind of make it a situation where they set you up for C-sections or they set you up to be induced. You know, they set you up for having bad experiences. You know, it just, you know, hit me that it's something that I have to do. And specifically where I'm at right now. Right now I'm living in Louisiana. Louisiana has some of the highest rates of C-section and infant and maternal mortality. The South has a horrible rate of infant and maternal mortality, and we're like neck and neck with Mississippi with, you know, how our babies are dying, especially, I have to just go back to, especially our black mothers and babies. So it's just been a passion of mine, and I end up finding out that my great-great-grandmother was a Mississippi midwife, and I was like, okay, so this is something ordained. You know, this is something in my blood, and I just got to, you know, go after it and stay the course.
Something interesting that you mentioned is one of your children was breached and you still had a healthy pregnancy. Can you explain to women out there how that's possible, especially with the current stigmas tied to being a breech baby? I was a breech child, when I was in my mother's womb, and they did a C-section on me. So I'm not really too familiar on how you can be a breech child and still have a healthy pregnancy.
Right. One of the ways I was able to have a healthy pregnancy is because not only was our birth, the birth of our child unassisted, we did our whole pregnancy unassisted. So we didn't have so-called normal prenatal care. We did everything ourselves. My husband is also a holistic healer, and when I told him that I wanted to go ahead and do this ourselves, have the baby have a home birth and birth the baby on our own, he was just like, well, you know what, we need to go all the way with it. And so we took the time to actually do research as far as, you know, the regular research you need to, you know, as far as planning the home birth, but then on top of, you know, making sure we were eating the right foods, you know, because at the end of the day, though they give you a prenatal pill, prescribe you a prenatal pill during your pregnancy, 9 months really isn't enough to get your health on course if you are living an unhealthy lifestyle. And that's why we have so many sisters dealing with preeclampsia, issues of anemia, things of that sort, because they're waiting until, you know, pregnancy to start giving you a pill that had that one is not even food-based, and you're dealing with constipation and all this other stuff. And so we didn't deal with that. You know, we already knew what was up because this was our second child. And so we were just focused, you know, eating our we went back to our natural foods, okras, plantain, so many different palm oil, and just really, you know, we dealt with a very plant-based diet and making sure I got sun. I was walking. I was in a positive space, in a safe space. You know, I was careful about who I was around and who I let around me. And we didn't know that she was a breech baby. Now that I look back on it, the signs that she was breech, how I felt at a early time, like it was like, oh, this baby's sitting low on me, you know, and everybody, all the old folk that see my baby, that's a boy, that's a boy, you know, by the shape of my stomach. And no, she wasn't a boy, she was upside down.
Oh, okay.
You know, she wasn't a boy. And so it wasn't until I actually was in labor, and I got into a pose where at first I was just squatting, but it felt uncomfortable, and I had to get on my knees. And we found out later through, you know, looking at other people who have birthed breech babies naturally, that the actual stance or position I was in to birth a breech was what they tell mothers to get in to birth breech babies.
Yes.
And I, and I just naturally got into that space because it felt right. And,
exactly.
My husband.
I mean, no, I just wanted to, like, say this real quick.
Yeah,
we know what we need to do for ourselves. What happens is we become doubtful of our own intuition and our own spirit. But as women, we naturally do the things we need to do for ourselves if we trust ourselves. So it's about really giving ourselves that, you know, amount of information that, hey, look, our mother's been doing this before there was hospitals, you know, before there was doctors coming to your door, or you going to the doctor and you giving birth to a child through their format. We've been doing this. So we should know innately on some level what we need to do for ourselves, as well as the research like you were talking about and educating ourselves on those levels. But there's an innate part of us that knows how to do it, you know? So exactly. Yes.
And I mean, you're right on point, you know, that was one of the things that made me comfortable and made us comfortable with going unassisted, because we knew at the end of the day, if people didn't birth unassisted or naturally, you know, the world wouldn't be populated. You know, OBGYNs and so-called hospitals, you know, they have a birth record. They weren't always here. But people have been birthing, you know, for millenniums. And it's just, you know, the act of birth and labor, you know, is so innate that, and it's just in recent history we've been separated from it, you know. And it was so funny because my husband said, you know, at first he thought he saw the head of the baby, and then it bust, and he figured, he was like, oh, that's the water bag, and he said he just saw these little toes. He saw these little toes, and at first he was nervous, but he remembered from the research that we had pulled up and had been reading on how to, you know, let a breech baby come out, and he just followed that, and he didn't even tell me she was breeched till we had her, and I was turning around, and I had nursed her and everything. He was like, yeah, you know, she came feet first, and it was just funny. It was just regular, and I didn't care. She's fine. She's going to actually she's going to be 2 next month. And to me, I feel like I healed better with her than I did with my oldest, who I had in the hospital. And I think it was, you know, mostly because I was able to push when I knew I was supposed to push. I wasn't on my back. The whole labor itself, I was able to have music and meditation and rock.
Yes.
You know, I can remember, you know, being able to bathe for a little while during the labor. I was having a little back pain. I ran myself a bath. I was able to put my daughter to rest, my oldest, and I, you know, I labored and started making my teas and my infusions for my perineum healing and everything like that. I did that all while I was in labor, you know, and so, you know, just the act of knowing this is natural. The babies are going to come. You know, there may be situations that cause for, you know, C-sections, but more often than not, they're being triggered by the hospital and the doctors, you know. And, you know, it's very few times that, you know, many times when mothers come to me and tell me, oh, I had a C-section, or they told me this or that, I'm finding out as they go through it and retalk, you know, and rehash the situation, it could have been prevented. So,
yes.
You know, and I'm not saying that's everything, because, you know, for some situations, especially like when sisters have preeclampsia and it's gotten to the point where they're saying that the baby's heart rate or, you know, is dropping and things of that sort, where they might say, look, we have to take the baby now or you or the baby is going to die. But just the whole situation of the preeclampsia in the first place, you know, when you get
exactly
to the root of the problem,
exactly,
it's because something has happened unnaturally.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, what we seem to forget in this society a lot is that the whole medical industry is a business.
Yes.
And it's based off of how they can get the most money out of you. And what happens is, because it's our health and it could be life or death, they often scare us into making decisions that are going to benefit their pockets.
So
we have to do is make sure that we're educated on what's what. I mean, I remember when I was a bit, like, about 4 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I watched the movie The Birthing Business by Ricky Lake. It's a documentary. It's a really good documentary on natural birth for anybody who's interested in watching it. And she just broke down the whole aspect of how it's a business, how the United States has a high birth defect and more infant mortality rate, how they have better rates in places that they do more midwifing, and, you know, why midwifery is looked down upon in this country, and how they even create situations where it's harder for certain insurance to cover the midwives. They really are pushing to put you in those doctor's offices.
Oh, yeah.
So that they can get that money, because that's a guaranteed, you got to come in at this time, you're going to have this appointment, we're going to have to look at the baby this day, and, you know, it's guaranteed money in their pocket if they do it that way. But if you have that information and that knowledge on how you can take control of your health and you can take control of your pregnancy, I mean, then you don't need them, and then they don't get that money. So we just have to be a little bit more diligent and a little bit more intuitive when we're looking at the information that they're presenting to us and see how, is it really the best thing for us? Because is it really the best thing for us to shoot ourselves up with artificial hormones to induce labor? You know, is it, or is it better that we go the natural route and that we make sure that we're healthy and if we have to, use herbs to assist us or whatever the case may be.
But
we just have to ask these questions. Go ahead. Yes.
I think you just brung up, I think you just, like, took it and hit it right on the head when you said that we have to remember that this is a business. And a business is in business to make money. They're not gonna be in business in the hopes of not making money. They're in business in the hopes of making money. So that's why it costs so much to have a baby in the hospital. That's why it costs so much to bury you when you die. To make money, they don't care nothing about your health. That's why I'm going to give you a prime example. When my daughter was born, she was born in the hospital, but we didn't allow the doctors to give her no shots. I mean, they came in with the bully tactics. They came in with the, she needs it for school, and she ain't going to public school. She's going to private school. So we killed all the scare tactics and she's not going to be there. She's going to die. She's going to have measles. Okay, we'll deal with it when it comes. You know what I'm saying? So, but most parents are not, they're not strong enough. They're not educated enough as far as that they can refuse, and that's why we keep allowing our children, we say we conscious, but we keep allowing our children to be born in these killing fields and letting them get shot up with all these chemicals, you know. But yes, you hit it right on the head when you said it is, we have to remember that it is a business. Point blank, it's a business.
Exactly, and we have to start researching and knowing what we want for our births and for our children before we're pregnant. That's one of the main problems.
Don't wait till we get pregnant.
Right. That's one of the main problems. You have a lot of brothers and sisters that, you know, now they've had the baby. Now they're thinking about the vaccinations. Or, you know, it's 1 month till the baby due. Now they're just now bringing up to their mate that they may want to breastfeed or they may want to stay home with the child. And that's the, you know, it's so many emotions going on when you're in the moment. It's really time before you're pregnant to start researching these things and your options and what you're comfortable with. You know, midwifery is an art and it's a science that's been passed down. And we've been doing it. We were told and we've been told that it's something backwards. It's something poor. It's something that, you know, you don't want. You know, you want to be around technology and all this, that, and the other. But it's a science to midwifery. And even the science that they deal with now, which rates whether, you know, you have better birthing outcomes and this, that, and the other, is saying that with low-risk mothers, you know, whatever low-risk means to them, benefit better from the midwifery model of care than with an OBGYN.
Right.
You know, that's what their science even says. And so why is it no longer that they're teaching their OBGYNs how to birth breech babies? Why is it no longer that they're, it's so much nonsense going on with that medical field nowadays. You know, they're looking at mother's feet and saying, oh, you're short, so you're not going to be able to birth a big baby. We're going to have to, you know, have a C-section. By looking at my feet, by saying I'm short, you know,
can I ask a question?
Oh, go ahead, brother.
Excuse me from cutting you off. I just want to, before we go way down the street, can I ask a question for the brothers that's probably listening in that don't know what a breech baby is? Because I'm sitting over here like, I'm not by my computer, so I can't look it up. What is a breech baby? Is the baby mean that it's upside down or?
Right. It means that the baby is either coming, because usually they say what's normal is a baby to come head first out.
Right.
So a breech
crown
baby
first.
Is either coming feet first or butt first.
Okay. That so that is where they will say, okay, you need to get cut. We need to cut your stomach open. Okay, that's just wanted to clear it up for the brothers that's on the call that probably don't know what y'all talking about.
Even some sisters might not know, so
you're right.
You got to clarify it, indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. So those are the, you know, those are the conditions, so-called conditions, so-called high-risk factors, even twins. Mm-hmm. You know, they're saying, and it's so funny that these are, if you go to these so-called third world countries, women are birthing twins naturally, vaginally, you know. I mean, and it's nothing. You can go back almost 50 years from now and talk to some of our grandmothers and great-grandmothers, and they'll talk about being able to birth twins naturally. And now all of a sudden, if you've got twins, you're a high-risk pregnant. Like twins are something that's unnatural. You know, it's not like...
If it wasn't natural, it wouldn't happen.
Exactly.
So,
you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's not even...
You know, we really have to be assertive, and just like Brother said, you go into those hospitals, like when we were transferred from the birthing center to the hospital, because my oldest daughter, she was at 37 weeks gestation, and what that means is what they consider to be a full-term birth is if you're 36 weeks pregnant to 40, 41 weeks pregnant, that's considered a full term. Anything above 37 weeks is considered premature. So my daughter was actually like 36 and a half weeks or something when my water burst. And the midwives at the birthing center, they didn't think it was a problem, but for insurance reasons at the center, they couldn't birth my child there, so we had to transfer to a hospital. But the idea that once I got in the hospital, they were saying, oh, your water already buzzed, you know, you can have infection, and, you know, they were coming in and out the hospital room talking about, do I want drugs, you know, they were like, they're pushing me, you sure you don't want anything, and coming in and talking about, you know, every birth is a potential C-section, you know, and they're telling me this, and this is my first child, you know. So
right.
Think about the mindset that you're
exactly.
in, you know. You're already caught up in emotions, which is natural. You're caught up in emotions, and they're coming in feeding you all this garbage, like you said, the scare tactics, and trying to feed your fear so you can make erratic decisions. And there, another trick they do too, and this is quite common. If you come in there with your mate, your husband, your boyfriend, whoever he is to you, if he leaves the room, say he's very strong on saying, no, I don't want her to have an epidural, or no, you know, maybe you guys have both talked about it and you're on one accord, but, you know, when you get in there and you're in that pain, you might start changing your mind. But say your man is still like, he's standing firm, like, no, or he's one of those people that questions everything. Okay, what's in this? What y'all shooting this up with? This, that, and the other. If he step out that room and go to the washroom or go to the bathroom, get something to eat, that's when the nurses and the OBNs come in and start talking to the mama. It happens all the time. Are you sure you want to do this? They're taught to do that, you know. Or I've even heard and seen situations where they've told the father or the boyfriend, you know, the mate, well, stay out here for a little bit. We're going to we need to do this and this to her. Well, why you need to do that without her mate there and no one else is with her? You know, that's unnatural. You know, that's not how we birthed as a community. Even if the man wasn't there, we were around our mothers, aunties, sisters,
somebody
who was feared in a community. You wasn't going to separate the family just so you could do what you want to do, you know. And you know, so these are things that happen on a consistent basis, so you have to come in there strapped with knowledge, you know, strapped with knowing this is what you want, asking questions, and they have it right there on the hospital wall. You know, that's one of your rights, that you need to know what they do before they do it. They have to run by you every procedure that they plan to do. You need to okay it. That's what they're supposed to do, but we're so used to, you know, for a lot of us, even those of us who may not bear witness to religion or anything, for a lot of us, when a person put on a lab coat, they are God.
Right.
For a lot of us. You know, when they walk into that hospital, that's like a sacred place where you ask no questions. A lot of us get like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are people just like you and I. You know, and they you deserve for your own health and for your own body to ask questions because they cutting on
yes.
you. So you got to you got to ask her. That's your own body. You have a lot of sisters that's being told you got one C-section, you always going to be a C-section. You got sisters
right.
that's having, what do they call it, after you've been cut on that tissue from that's built up after scar tissue. They haven't built
mm-hmm.
up scar tissue. That built up scar tissue is leading to other things within the body and in the womb because of what these hospitals are doing and because we don't ask questions.
The keloids?
And they, go ahead. Yes, keloids. All that is going on behind them, not asking, you know, and they treat the black body. Another thing we need to know as black women, too, is gynecology was built on our backs in this country.
Mm.
The gynecologist, the man that invented so-called, who's the father of so-called gynecology, he used to do tests on black slave women, black women,
yes.
without any anesthesia.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And then we go to these people, these OBGYNs, you know, and that so-called science was built on our backs in this country.
Yes.
And they treat
yes.
us like that to this day. You know, figuring, well, I'm already in here. You want your tubes tied? Now, how you ask a woman why she on her back, she done just gave birth, you want to ask her why you got her open, you want to tie her tubes? This is the type of stuff
mm-hmm.
that's going on in the hospital, you know,
yes.
and the way they dealing with us there. And it has to end. The only way that we're going to make it end is we constantly come at them like, no, this and this is going to happen, and if I change my mind, it's because you've given me information that I bear witness to. You know, other than that, you're not just going to sway me just because you said so. We have to demand a certain, you know,
well,
a certain protocol.
Well, we got 23 minutes left on the live stream. Anybody wants to call in that has a question, you can call in. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. We're discussing the importance of healthy birth in the black community with Sister Divine and her lovely, lovely, wonderful educational self. She is just educating us on all this information, and she also has a wonderful and great organization that she is putting together. Real quickly for everybody, can you please just let us know a little bit more about your foundation and what you guys are doing, your organization, as well as information as to how we can get involved and how we can help you out?
Yes, ma'am. My organization is called Community Birth Companion. We're here in Opelousas, Louisiana, and it's just starting, but so far we've done workshops on infusions, herbs and teas and salves for the pregnancy and prenatal period. We've also had a workshop where we dealt with pregnancy, labor, and postpartum in the African perspective, and we did different foods and healing methods. We taught different foods and healing methods that help our mothers during the pregnancy, labor, and postpartum period. And right now, being that this is National Infant Mortality Awareness Month, actually this Friday, we have a proclamation ceremony during the Save the Babies Civic Lunch and Learn, and we have the mayor's office coming and having a proclamation saying that locally we're recognizing National Infant Mortality Awareness, and we're going to do some things about it. And so we're basically doing an informational lunch and learn, and that's this Friday. If people want to support us or see what more we have being planned locally here in Opelousas, Louisiana, or you just want to give your support, please go to communitybirthcompanion.org. That's communitybirthcompanion.org. You can also email me at cbcopelousas, that's OPELOUSAS, C as in cat, B as in boy, C as in cat, opelousas at gmail.com. And we also have a fundraising activity on, we're trying to raise money also so we can further our roles in the local area of Southwest Louisiana. And you can find our campaign on Indiegogo/Community Birth Companion. So Indiegogo.com at /Community Birth Companion. So definitely any support you all can give, even just sharing our mission to help mothers and babies is great for us. So, thank you.
That's wonderful.
And yes, again, hit the sister up. I was watching the video that you had on your YouTube, And you were talking about the little goodies and the gifts. Are you still giving those out for the donations?
Yes. We have.
Yeah, she has some great gifts.
Yeah, we have some teas, and I would bless myself with marrying on to a great plant and soil family that's just really deep in the agriculture. And my husband's father grows hibiscus. Some of us know it as sorrel. And he makes some great teas with it. So we have a mixture tea. We have that with lemongrass and a bunch of different other herbs. It's a great tasting tea. He also makes an awesome seasoning. And if y'all know anything about Louisiana, we know we like you spicy stuff. And, you know, we like some good seasoning. And it has wild garlic and different peppers and all this other stuff. And then I have some lavender salves that we made at our workshops, with, which is good for burns and cuts. So it's an all-natural, 100% vegan salve. Based in beeswax and lavender oil, and it's good for healing. It's also good for massaging muscles. And we're giving those gifts out for those who donate to our cause with $30 or more. So we're giving those gifts and as a thank you for those who donate to the cause.
All right, so you heard her. Donate for the cause. But a little bit, because them gifts sound right, too.
Yes. You're right. Yes.
So, you know, definitely support the sister, support the organization. And I think this is something, no, I don't think, I know this is something that we need nationally. We don't just need in Louisiana, even though there is a great need, and we're glad that this sister is doing her part where there is great need, but we need it nationally. We need other sisters to bear up together and take heed and follow the example of what this sister is doing and make it a national movement where we are taking responsibility for our children and their well-being. We do have a caller on the line. Caller from the 559 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any questions or comments?
First of all, I would just like to give a shout out to Ty Queen and Sister Divine. I mean, y'all are dropping so much knowledge as far as, like, you know, what our sisters have to go through as far as, like, with the epidurals and the C-sections and things like that. And you're also letting us know of how, like, sisters from around the world, like in third world countries, don't have access to that type of thing. You know, I just wanted to ask the question, what do you think about the C-sections, the epidurals, the things that we have to go through, our sisters have to go through, like, you know, being blessed with those type of surgeries and things like that, like as opposed to like the sisters from third world countries that don't have access to that. Do you think that that's an intelligent decision to make, or do you think like that's pretty much like adhering to like something that can damage sisters in the future?
I'll say this. I know in some countries, like, say, in some places in Ghana, in some places in Uganda, like in some of these other countries where they're in rural areas and they're long road, bumpy roads and no transportation and access to emergency care, there can be problems. There's been issues of people, you know, bleeding to death and things of that sort. But anytime you have poverty and you don't have a lack of clean water, you're going to have issues. So the idea isn't that our people are stupid. Our people are not stupid over there. It's not that our people don't know how to birth their children, but it's been conditions and that so-called unseen hand that's been touching the continent that's been keeping them from better safety mechanisms for birth. But you have places in Nigeria that's known for twins. You know, you have places where birth is happening naturally and it's not a problem, but it's nothing wrong with technology. It's something wrong with saying that everybody needs this certain technology all the time. and when you push one type of modality in which a woman should birth instead of strengthening, you know, strengthening her cultural legacy of birthing. And so that's why you have different sisters. And I want to big up, I know the sister was talking about national, you know, initiatives to help our babies and mothers. I want to big up the International Center for Traditional Childbearing. They are on a push to raise the amount of black doulas and black midwives. So please go to ICTCmidwives.org. I trained under them to become a doula, and they're doing the work. Also, go to Birthing Project, birthingprojectusa.org. They're doing the work, having sister friends and community doulas all over the United States and Haiti and in Africa as well. So these are people, these are organizations that's working on our behalf. And we have to support them, and they're in the continent, they're in the islands, they're going to Puerto Rico and all these different places so we can remember our legacy in the science of midwifery and sister and mother care. Our problems that that are happening in third world countries are because a lot of times our sisters don't have access to clean water. Our sisters don't have access to be able to get to her midwife because the road, there's not any roads or people are spread out or, you know, it, the conditions of the country itself, not necessarily just because they don't have access to technology or medical care. The conditions of the country itself cause these situations. So, it definitely, anytime, I always question anytime Western methods are pushed upon our brothers and sisters in the diaspora, because just because, you know, it's attached to electricity and stuff don't make it right, you know, don't make it something
right.
To eat it.
Exactly. Right. So I hope that answers your question, brother. And we thank you.
Yes,
thank
you pretty much she broke it down really clearly.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, and your question is greatly appreciated. And, you know, do come back and don't be a stranger. All right?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you,
Bob. We do have 13 minutes left on the live call. If you would like to call in with your questions, please do so within that 13 minutes. But we do have, I mean, a large amount of information. We could talk about this all day if we really wanted to, because it goes deep. And what I do want you to do, I want to say real quick before we get back into the information, is please send me all that information that you just said on the air in an email or something, because I want to get that information on the blog site so we can have easy access for the women to go onto the blog site and be able to click to the different websites and the information to get a hold of you as well as the different organizations, just put it all together for them. So please send me that email. And one thing I wanted to say for a minute now, but I kept forgetting my question, is that when we are dealing with a lot of these epidurals, different shots to induce labor, and all these different things, not only are they degenerative to our health, but they are degenerative to the process, the delicate process in which birth occurs, and the delicate hormonal balance through which birth expresses itself. And that particular process within our bodies expresses itself that way for a reason, and that is for us to develop proper connection with our children.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens through this birthing system that we go through is that neurological process, that psychological process, and that hormonal process is disrupted on all levels.
Indeed.
And we are now faced with things that are called postpartum depression. You see the, you know, the, and I mean, I want to say this outright and truthfully, I do believe that a lot of that postpartum depression goes undiagnosed in the black community.
Yes.
And that we just write it off as, oh, that's a crazy baby mama, or this, that, and the third, and she's just tripping, and she out to lunch, or whatever the case may be. But these are are serious issues that have stemmed from improper birthing and improper pregnancy. So what we have to understand is the significance of nature and the way our bodies work with an intelligence. And there's a hormonal cocktail that's produced in our body, which is called, I think it's like a love, they call it a love cocktail, where it's when the, these hormones are released from the brain that signify for the mother to become nurturing and connected to the child. Those same hormones travel through her system and go into the brain of the child before they are released through the birthing process. So when they come out, they're both on a euphoric high in which they have a very, very bonding moment with each other. And if in any way, shape, or form that's disrupted by the child being taken out of the mother's legs immediately, not being placed directly into the mother's arms, even the whole process of the mother not having the option to clean the child in the hospitals, or them touching the baby and poking the baby with all these instruments and latex gloves and all these other things, that's disrupting that process.
Indeed. Wow.
So we need to pay attention to the... Go ahead.
I say you're absolutely correct. And to add on to that, that's dealing with the postpartum depression is whether we have our babies in the hospital or at home, the village has broken down. The village has broken down.
Exactly.
People are no longer checking in on the mother. No, people are no longer helping the mother wrap her stomach. People are no longer coming with food for the mother so she doesn't have to cook. So now we have situations where people just come so they can see the baby. Nobody's trying to deal with the mother. Nobody's making sure the mother's doing okay. Nobody's making sure she's not hemorrhaging. You know, if she's had a C-section, nobody's making sure that her staples or her stitches are clean. She has to do this all for herself. And then the struggles of just being, you know, in this country, you know, having to go back to work after 3 weeks of giving birth, you know, or having to go right to work and that and your baby, you want to stay with your baby, but you can't because you have to pay the bills. So who ain't going to be depressed? You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And then what if your man, he gavin, you know, it's all types of things. I'm sorry, brother, go ahead.
No. I've been thinking about ever since you said about the scare tactics that they try to pull into getting the sister to allow them to cut on her. And I was just thinking about all the sisters that be, you know, parading around saying they got a bad body and all that stuff. And do they have, I'm just wondering, when the doctor tell them that they got to get this horrendous scar on their stomach, do they have, like, a indirect ill feeling towards their child?
When you're hurting like that, you know, I haven't had a C-section, but I talk with mothers who have a C-section, and it's hard to heal. It's hard to heal from there, and it hurts. So you sitting down, sitting up, holding the baby, it's hurting you, you know, while you holding the baby. There's no telling what goes on in your head after a while, you know, because you already, regardless if you had a C-section or you had a vaginal birth, you have some sort of afterbirth pain. So then if you're dealing with that and you're dealing with healing from the C-section and you're not getting any help, what you think going on in the mama head? Why she crazy? Why she feel down? Or she don't want to feel bothered? Or now she yelling at the top of her lungs to her other children? Because nobody giving her no peace. Ain't nobody helping her. And that's something we can't blame on the doctors. That's something we can't blame on the hospital. That's the village.
I
want to
be a doula.
And we have to get peace, you know, and straight up the brothers can help because say if your wife, girlfriend just had a baby, you can say, well, honey, I ain't even tripping. Take that meal over there to sister and stay a few hours. That's how the brothers help, you know what I'm saying, because that's an extension of the village, you know what I'm saying? Say, look, I'll drop y'all off. You want me to take if she got some boys, let me take the older children to the basketball court. Give her, you know, some rest with just her and the baby. That's what we need. You know, that's what we need. We think it got to be such a big, drawn-out thing to help, you know, help each other.
Yeah.
It's the little things that give a mama peace. You know, I'm talking experience, you know.
Where did you say that you became a doula at? I need that information because I listening to you, man, I can't. Just when you hear information, you cannot go backwards and go back to the hospital. and have a baby.
ICTCmidwives.org. I, C as in cat, T as in traditional, C, midwives.org, and that's the International Center for Traditional Childbearing. We're actually, I'm also a member, we're actually having our annual conference in Miami, Florida this year, next month. But definitely go into the site, and if you want to support, definitely support. And all the sisters, I really say if you want to become a doula, it's so many different doula certifications, and I give big ups to everybody that do doula certifications. I don't knock no one. I have to say that ICTC, because they train us in the tradition of Southern traditional midwives of our people, is culturally competent. I say definitely, I'm always recommending if you want to become a doula, go through ICTC.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I have a caller on the line, and I want to get them through. But before I get them through, I just want to speak something really quickly. And this is a quote. It's an African proverb, and it says that when you teach a man, you teach an individual. But when you teach a woman, you teach a nation.
Indeed.
So that's what we're trying to do here. And not that, you know, we're not trying to educate men as well on the whole process, because it's important that they understand it. But we're speaking to the sisters because you raise the nation. You perpetuate the culture. You set the tone for what is an acceptable learning standard and what's acceptable knowledge and what's not. So when we re-educate ourselves and when we re-educate our minds, our spirits, and our bodies on what we need to do to be healthy beings holistically, that's when we raise our nation. And that's when we take it to the next level. We have babies that they're calling super children because they're so intelligent, they're so happy, they're so well-adjusted, they're so loved. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what we really, really are trying to bring back. But we do have one last caller, from the 617 area code. And I want to get this out real quick. If you're listening on the live stream, please switch over. We only have 3 minutes left, 917-932-8881. Caller from the 617 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen.
Peace, everyone. It's Letitia. How are you today?
Peace, peace.
I'm calling, I guess I kind of have a question for Divine regarding pregnant women. You touched upon it a little bit when you talked about eating healthy during your pregnancy, and it starts way before. So how do you go about telling these women that they need to start? I know a lot of times getting pregnant isn't planned by some of these women,
right.
But how do you go about telling them that they shouldn't just eat everything and use pregnancy as an excuse?
Yeah.
And 'cause I see that a lot, and I've worked in hospitals, I worked in radiology, so I saw a lot of women coming in there, women of color, overweight, experiencing gestational diabetes and just all kinds of complications because they think, oh, I'm pregnant, I can eat whatever I want, I can do this, or, and I can worry about losing the weight after. But they're not taking into account that what they're eating is going into their baby. So how do you go about just educating women about that?
Great question. First things first, we got to start educating our women beforehand that what you eat now, whether you plan to ever become pregnant or not, affects your future and affects your womb. And a fertile womb is a healthy womb. So some sisters be like, oh, I'm not trying to get pregnant, I don't want to hear nothing about fertility. But a fertile womb is a healthy womb. So you start now eating right, eating correctly, getting your mind right about, are you eating emotionally? Are you eating, overeating? Because a lot of women who are having so-called gestational diabetes and things of this sort, I could put my finger on it that they had some type of health issues even before they were pregnant.
Right.
So if and this is goes back to what I was saying, that those prenatal pills for 9 months are not going to help if, you know, for 20-some years, 30-some years, you ain't been eating right. And so these sisters are being told that, you eat this, it's okay, it's your cravings. And a lot of these cravings are actual nutritional deficiencies. And so,
yeah.
you fiending for certain things because your iron is low. You're fiending for certain things because you're not having any calcium or vitamin C and things of that sort. So the thing is, one, I think that's really going to touch upon the mothers and get them to understand. A lot of sisters don't go into any childbirth classes and childbirth education classes either. So I think a lot of us have to start rushing into these fields of childbirth education, rushing into these fields of female health and start talking about, okay, do you know if you have gestational diabetes or if you're overweight, it's a higher chance for your child to be born with diabetes. We have higher rates of children being born with diabetes nowadays. And it's strictly connected. It's exactly connected to the way mothers are eating and the mother's health, the father's health. And so in the community, the village has to be educated too, because a lot of us, though we may talk about the pregnant woman, it's a lot of us egging that on. You know, girl, go have you some of this. Oh, you, it's 3 a.m. If that woman tell you at 3 a.m. to go get her some ice cream, you better go get it. No. You know, I mean, serious. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but, you know, family members be telling people that. You know, like, go ahead, get her what she wants. No, don't get her what she wants. Give her what she needs and what the baby needs. That's the ego talking. You want what you want. But you're not, these are empty calories. You know, so it's really going to take education. It's also going to take not just us telling them, but actually cooking good food and showing them, look, this is some good food, and guess what? It's healthy. It does this and this for you. It's going to make your pregnancy easier. It's going to make you be able to push the baby out easier, things of that sort. So we have to be able to show our community and our mothers the right way to eat and the right lifestyle. A lot of us are not getting enough sun while we're pregnant. We live in a sedentary lifestyle, so then we have a sedentary pregnancy. And that, you know, isn't the best while pregnant either. So it's a lot of things that we can do, but it starts with letting them know the correct and wrong ways and the effect it's having on themselves even after birth and the effect it's having on their babies.
That was brilliant.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, great question, Leticia, and thank you for asking that wonderful question. Hopefully you will be at the womb circle.
I know. I'm going to try to make it, definitely.
Exactly, because these are the things that we want to bring to the forefront and we want to bring to the table as far as our community. We want to discuss these types of issues as well as just women's health in general. So thank you for calling
thank
in.
Thank you.
All right, you have a great one, rest of the night. Can't even
you
talk
too.
Anymore. All right, peace. Yes, so, you know, we're in the winding down period of the show, and I just want to ask you, Devon, if you have any last things that you want to elaborate on, anything that you missed and you might want to hit now, or any last words you want to leave our sisters with on how to be healthy during pregnancy, before pregnancy, and after pregnancy.
Yes. I want to tell every woman and every mother and every soon-to-be mother, start taking care of yourself. By taking care of yourself, you're going to start taking care of the baby. Start educating yourself on what you want and your needs emotionally and physically, so then you can make sure your pregnancy and your future pregnancy goes the way you want to. Start looking up midwives in your area so you know if there's midwives in your area. Start now. Start looking up if your OBGYN has a high rate of C-sections. Start now. Start looking up if your hospital that you plan on going to, if they have a lactation counselor. start now. It's never too early to set your plans on what you want, because you don't want to have any surprises. I mean, surprises can happen, but if you have been researched and you understand the things that can happen, everything is not so much as a big surprise, okay? So we need to do that, and I stay hard on the community. You better congratulate every pregnant woman you see. You see a pregnant woman walking, you say congratulations. If you're on a bus and you see a pregnant woman, you get up and you let her sit down. You hold the door for the pregnant woman. You ask her, do she need her bags held? I don't care if she's 15 or if she's 45. I don't care if this is her first pregnancy or she got six older children. That's not your place. Just a mother, you need to step aside, and we need to start honoring our mothers so we can have a better future.
Yes. Well said. And thank you so much, Divine,
thank
for spending your time here. And we commend you, sister, for doing the great works that you're doing and informing the community. And, you know, we send peace, love, and so much. And let us know if there's anything that we can do here in Conversations with the Queen to help get the word out, help support you, anything at all, just let, you know, let us know. And we will definitely try our 100% best to, you know, accommodate you and help you in any way that we can.
Thank you all so much for having me. I'm truly humbled and honored, and I'm going to strive to keep doing the work in y'all name. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sister.
All right.
Peace, sister. Peace. All right, Saeed. That was a wonderful show.
Man,
I mean,
it was. I learned a lot on this show. For real.
I mean, whoever missed this show, it's just their problem. They missed a great show. I mean,
yeah. I need everybody to go back and check the archives.
They better.
I
got to
go back and check the archives.
Next week, we're going to have a really, really wonderful show. We are going to have a great show featuring a poet named Jazzy Sadiq. She's a wonderful poet. She's also a featured poet on the Spoken Billboard Awards, which is going to be held September 29th in the Detroit area. And it's held by no one other than Miss Poetic Energy herself. So it's going to be a great, great event. And we're just going to have the sister on, and she's a wonderful poet. So we're going to have her on next week. You know, we're going to keep bringing these wonderful, powerful shows, of course, and we're going to have some fun shows in between. You know how we do. So for any information and to keep up with what we're doing here in Conversations with the Queen, please visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. I'm going to take it out with two things. I'm going to first take it out with my new and improved Angel Wings commercial for my jewelry line, Angel Wings, and then we're going to take it out with a wonderful song called Seeds by Anne Muldrow. All right,
hey,
peace,
hey.
Peace, all my listeners who are listening in, and, you know, we love you, and we appreciate you, and thank you so much.
Ladies, it's Israel the Poet. Do you love stylish jewelry but are also health and spiritually conscious? Many stylish pieces contain metals and plastics which can irritate the skin and do absolutely nothing for the spirit. So why not be in style while aiding your spirit? Gemini Creations presents Angel Wings, our newest earring line that infuses radiant feather earrings with angelic spiritual gemstones. So look great while aiding your spirit. To check them out, visit GeminiCreations.com. That's GeminiCreations.com. Like us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/GeminiCreations. Or you can contact Tay Queen through TayQueen@Hotmail.com. That's TayQueen@Hotmail.com. Peace and blessings always.